you would this morning, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus, the third chapter. Certainly been helped of the Lord in His Word. Amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. Your relationship to the Word of God will certainly be your stability in the time of the storm. And the devil knows that. That's why he tries to drive a wedge in your heart. And in your life, between you and the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 3, very familiar scripture. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he drew, and he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I felt a nudge just now. Somebody better listen to that verse. That verse, I was just reading over it as just part of the text, but felt a little nudge. Somebody might ought to perk up a little bit. I'm going to read it again, see if it's got a word for you. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Egypt's type of the world. I've seen, the Lord is not blind concerning the happenings of his people. He's not blind concerning the hurts of his people. He's certainly 100% in the know about you. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't need information about nothing, past, present, or future, concerning your life. He said, I have surely. He could have just said, I have seen. But he made it a good emphasis. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Hello. And have heard their cry. Thank God. I have seen their affliction, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. I have seen, I have heard, I know. That's good, Andrew. And I like this. In light of that, Brother Craddock, I've seen, I've heard. Now this is all freshed up right here. I wasn't aiming to even comment on it. I just, Lord said right there, hit that a little. In light of the fact that I have seen, and I have heard, and I know. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver. Amen. Does anybody feel anything on that besides me? Glory to God. I've seen, I've heard, I know, and I am come down to deliver. Amen. Woo, that's a personal word right there for somebody. And I'm going to take my part of that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I could leave now and say, I've heard from heaven. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. For 400 years they thought was an impossibility. They thought it'd never be done. It couldn't happen. Pharaoh's too strong. Egypt is too powerful. Every effort we've made to try to escape has been in vain. But now the Lord is stepping on the scene because he's heard, he's seen, he knows, and he's come down to deliver them out of Egypt. Amen. To bring them, not just deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land. That's good. That's good. But it don't stop there. Unto a good land. The deliverance has a destiny. I'm not just coming here because I see, heard, and know and deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians. I'm going to bring you up out of this land, and that's still not all. I am bringing you unto a good land. A good land unto a land. Well, let's read it. Unto that land. Unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Woo! What a difference. What a difference from that to the world, to Egypt, the bondage, Pharaoh, all of that mess. Amen. God never saves anybody with the intentions of wiping the smile off of your face. God will never, hello, God will never let Egypt outdo him. No, friend. If you had a better time in Egypt, the world, in sin, than you are professing to be saved, you might ought to check up. Something's wrong. Thank God Egypt cannot compare to what God can do. Somebody asked that preacher, why have you not been back to that life of sin? Why would I trade the greater for the lesser? Why would I step away from the best and go back to that trashy life that did not satisfy me? Amen. Amen. I am come down to deliver. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody better put your sail up and catch some of that breeze from another world. Amen. Somebody better get some of that. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes. Glory! Amen.
Yes! Amen.
I surely need that. Amen.
Yes.
And the Lord, I'm going to read it again. And the Lord said, that makes it authoritative. Amen. That should cause you to want to perk up and listen. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Thank God. Isaiah 53, he's acquainted with our griefs. He knows our sorrows. Thank God. Y'all might as well let me preach a minute. Amen. John chapter 13, Jesus told his disciples. Go ahead and be seated. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. I'm going away. My purpose for coming is nigh. And that is, I'm leaving you. And what did it do to them? It broke their hearts. They were devastated. Amen. They were downcast. And guess what? The favorite verse, we all can quote it. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to tell you, I looked and looked and looked, and I have not found that where they told him, they were discouraged. They never told him their feelings. They never told him what emotionally they were feeling. He knew it. I know your affliction, he said. I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling. Amen. You're here at RBT this morning. Amen. And God's letting you know. He knows. Amen. He knows. He's not in the dark about you. Amen. Amen. He's not in the dark about our nation and about the future and the finances and the physical. And he knows all about us this morning. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. A good word from a far country. It's like cool waters to a thirsty soul. And I know one thing. I've been in this thing a long time, Brother Fultz, and I'm telling you, when we hit verse number 7, just to read it. Now I'm talking about in reading and studying the passage to preach from it, that never even stood out to me. That never, you know why? Hey, from the time I read the text, studying it, till you showed up, God said, hey, I want you to just park right there on verse 7 and 8 a few minutes and squeeze some of the juice out of that. There was somebody that wasn't really planning on coming to RBT this morning, and all of a sudden they're here and they need a word from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey. Well, amen. Hallelujah. For I am come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, I like that, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Thank God I got a little taste of that honey this morning. Amen. A little taste of the honey. Amen. Milk and honey. Of course, it's going to have some. The Canaanites there, there's going to be some war. There's going to be some battles. But the blessings outweighs the battles. The burdens are not comparable to the blessings. He said the land under the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have pressed them. He's come back and hit it another leg. He said, I've heard their cry. Their cries come unto me. I have seen the oppression. Amen. Some of you are being oppressed this morning. God says, I see that oppression. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get off that. Help us, Lord. Amen. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And of course, then he calls Moses, come now. Therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And of course, Moses said unto God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Hey, like that title.
Amen. Yes,
all capital letters. I am that I am. What's his name? I am that I am. Amen. You say that sounds incomplete because God wants you to fill it in.
Right.
I am what you need. I am, amen, what the devil hates. I am your sufficiency. Amen. I am the bread. I am the door. I am the water. I am the light. Amen. I am your victory. I am that I am. And he said, and thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Of course, we could read on. I encourage you to do that after you get home. But I want us to look back in verse number 2 to find our thought for this morning, the second message. Amen. The first one the Lord planned and I didn't know about it. The second one I do know about it. Amen. But the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, And the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. What about that? What was the thing that really caught Moses' attention about this bush? Was that it was burning? That would have caught my attention. But that wasn't what caught Moses' attention. What caught Moses' attention was that it was burning, and it kept on burning, and it kept on burning, and it kept on burning, and burning, and burning, and burning some more, and burning some more, and burning, and burning, and burning, and burning, and not consumed. It kept burning on, but not burning out. Hey, somebody better get a hold of that. The devil wants you to quit burning on and start burning out. I want to preach, the Lord help me, for a few minutes on burn, bush, burn. Amen. Burn, bush, burn. Amen. This bush is a whole lot like believers. Amen. Whole lot like you and I as children of God. Believers. We're to burn and keep on burning. Not burn a while and fizzle out. Burn a while and the flame go down to a flicker. No, burn, bush, burn. That's what God wants us to see this morning. Amen. And there's a lot of things that could be said about this, but you can see even salvation in this bush. This bush is a lot like you were before you got saved. This bush wasn't always on fire. There was a time when this bush was just a bush. There was a time that this bush was nothing but just another bush among the whole crowd of bushes. And at best it could do would be a bush like everybody else. Amen. Amen. Couldn't do nothing else. Amen. But then something happened, a specific day, a specific time. We don't know when, amen, how long this bush was aflame. But we do know for a fact that there was a time that this bush went from being a bush to being a burning bush. It went from being just an old, unsightly, unattractive bush to having God in it. Amen. The angel of the Lord, that statement identifies the Lord. Amen. And it identifies salvation. Boy, do you remember back when you was just a sinner? Unsightly, unattractive, unlikely, unnoticed. You was just blending in with all the other sinful bushes that you was around. And every day all you did was live a bush life. That's all you ever did was live a bush life. Amen. And there may have been a few times that as a bush you might have looked over and saw maybe an oak or a real nice attractive tree of some sort and said, you know, hey, maybe I wish I was like that. But there come a day when God made the difference. Hallelujah. Amen. So I could see salvation here. I could see superiority of the superior life. Apart from God and the indwelling presence of God in the bush, it would have only lived a bush life, died, and would have never been used, never been known of us today. But here I am, several thousand years later, I'm preaching about a bush that was on fire with God. Amen. Hallelujah. It made a difference. We're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. Oh, I'm talking about the superiority of the spiritual life. If God hadn't have saved me, you would have never met me. I would have never met you. Amen. I would have lived and died there and probably in the hills of North Carolina as just another bush, just another sinner. But there was a day, January 20th, 1981, that God got in this bush. Amen. Amen. It's nothing to brag about except God's in there. The superiority. Boy, John chapter 10 speaks about that abundant life that he gives. Amen. Amen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. It also not only speaks of salvation and the superiority of the spiritual life. These are just some things I jotted down this morning, Lord showed me this morning. But it also speaks of service. That is, this bush represents the fact that God has a purpose. God had, can you get a hold of this? God had a purpose for an unsightly, just a common bush. There's hope for me. There's hope for me in the area of service. The area of service, amen. God has a purpose for your life. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was driven with that mentality and that thought. There in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 2, he talked about wanting to apprehend that for which he had been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Apprehend means to lay hold on. Paul said, I want to lay hold on that for which I have been laid hold on for. God's got a purpose for you. Amen. But I'm confident that the devil's chief desire about you as a burning bush is to put your fire out. I believe that. He wants you to burn out. Why? Because of the message it'll send to lost people. Yeah, just like I thought, they wasn't nothing to it. Because when you tell everybody you got saved, you know what's in every lost person's mind? The same that was in my friend's mind when I got saved. He'll be back. He's just on a little religious kick. He's just going to do a little church thing for a while. And I know him. He'll be back to the partying life. He'll be back down here doing all the things that we're doing. Well, praise God, it's been 32 years and I've only been back twice. And that was to preach, amen, at their invitation to my class reunion. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. I knew, Brother Mark, when I got up out of that altar, you've heard me tell it, I knew, listen, before I ever told anybody I got saved, before I ever announced it, professed it, confessed it, before I, none of that. As soon as I got up out of that altar, I knew that the search for peace was over because I had found that peace is not in a pill, it's not in a party, it's not in a potion, it's in a person. And I just received him in that altar and the Prince of Peace, thank God, spoke peace unto my soul. I knew the search was over. I knew that partying crowd wouldn't see me no more. I knew they wouldn't see me no more back down at the dance hall. I knew they wouldn't see me no more back down there at the wild places and the wicked places. Oh no, I knew that I had found a new Lord and a new life and a new longing. And I've said it so many times, worth repeating. If salvation does not change your life, it has not changed your destiny.
Right.
How many people's holding on and embracing a flimsy little profession they made whenever it was, and it never changed their attitude towards sin. It never changed their involvement in sin. I want to tell you, it didn't give them a heart for God. Amen. They don't have a desire for prayer. They don't have a desire for church. They don't have a desire to feed upon the Word of God. They don't have the indwelling leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter number 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Just on that verse alone, if you don't have God, the Holy Ghost, inside you leading you, amen, that verse says you're not a son of God. You're not a child of God. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Burn! Bush burn. Amen, that's right. Let's note some things about this bush. Let's note some things about this bush. First thing I want to mention this morning about the bush is, number one, that caught my attention was the location of this bush. The Bible is careful to show us there in verse number 1 that Moses was on the backside of the desert. The backside of the desert. He was in a wilderness and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Where was this bush at? It was on the backside of the desert. He said, "Preacher, what's the point God's trying to tell us? Quit trying to use your surroundings and your circumstances as an excuse for you to be burning out." That's what God spoke to my heart about. Here's a bush that was on the backside of nowhere. It was out of the eye and of man until Moses showed up. This bush here had never even been seen by man till Moses showed up. Are you listening? Oh, the location of it was. It was on the backside of the desert. It was in a wilderness. Can I say this about you? And here we are right back to it again. God knows where you are. You may be in the middle of nowhere, feel like you're a nobody, living in nowhere, going nowhere. I want to tell you, God knows where you are. God knows your number here this morning. Sure he does. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Jesus knew where the woman was at the well. He knew what time she'd show up. He knew where Zacchaeus was, what road he was on, what tree he was up, what limb he was on. He knew, my friend, where blind Bartimaeus was. He knew what road he was on. Hey, man, to God, he knew that the Apostle Paul was going to be on the Damascus Road. Hey, man, and he knew where I was going to be that night. He knew what tree stand Brother Ivan was going to be in. He knew, my friend, where you was going to be when you got saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The location of the bush. You say, "Preacher, if I was in a better environment, if I had better circumstances, if I wasn't where I was, if I wasn't who I was, if I was somebody else, if I was somewhere else, I could probably burn bush burn." No, you can burn where you are. Amen. If you can't burn in privacy with nobody looking, you can't burn publicly when everybody's looking. The bush, Moses found out on the mountain that that bush burned when nobody was looking, and he was getting ready to go in front of Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians and burn there in front of them. Amen. Are you burning privately? Amen. Some of you are not burning privately. God's got to do a work in you personally and privately before he can ever work through you publicly. You'll never be a burning bush example in front of the Pharaoh of our day leading God's people out of bondage if you're not having that experience on the mountain with God. God's got to work in you personally. Can I ask you something about that bush? That bush is like a believer. Is there any fire in you? Moses would have never noticed the bush if there hadn't been a fire in it. And that it kept burning and kept burning and kept burning and kept burning and burning. The location. Let me say this and I'm going to move on. Where you are should never be greater than what you are. Hello, you need to write that down. Where you are should never rise to be greater than what you are. Where you are, you may not choose. But what you are, you always choose. You're not a victim. Come on now. You're not a victim of circumstances. Well, preacher, you know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't look for that. And all of a sudden, here I am. I'm dealing with it. Yeah, well, amen. All of us can say that to a point about things. And you know what? Life is going to be filled with those second-handed storms. Storms that you've got to face and deal with that you didn't look for, you didn't ask for, you didn't invite. All of a sudden you look around and there you are and it's in your hands and you're having to deal with it. You're having to carry that burden. But keep in mind, where you are, you may not choose. But what you are, you do choose. If you'll take care of the what, then let God take care of the where. Hey man, if you'll take care of the character, then God can deal with the circumstance. Amen. The location of the book. Secondly, quickly, I want to talk about the sanctification of the book. The bush. The sanctification of the bush. It was God that was in the bush that sanctified and separated the bush from all other bushes. I want to say this right here real plain. You cannot have God in you and remain the same. When God got in that bush, immediately it was distinct.
Yes. Right.
Immediately it was a distinction. It was separated. It was sanctified from all of the other bushes.
Amen.
How many people do you know and I know that claim to have Jesus living inside them, have the God of fire inside of them, but they continue on living the life of sin?
Right.
Amen. Something wrong with that. Amen. Something bad wrong with that. The sanctification of the bush. The location of the bush. The sanctification of the bush. Amen. God in the bush made all the difference. Amen. And let me just say this about that term, sanctification. You know what sanctification is as defined or illustrated with this bush? It's when God takes over the whole bush. So what's sanctification, preacher? That's when God is on the inside and consumes you, takes over. There wasn't one part of that bush that wasn't on fire. Sanctification of the bush. Burn. Burn, bush. Burn. Don't burn out. Don't fizzle out on us. No, we're on the last leg of the journey, church. Stay with it. Stick with it. Amen. Grow to the ground, praise God. Amen. Run. Keep going. Don't burn out. Don't quit. Sanctification of the bush. Amen. I like this. The bush wasn't just sanctified by the one that was in it, but also the ground around it was sanctified. Moses, take your shoes off, for whereon thou standest is holy ground. A lot of people's burning out because of the ground they're around. Hello. It's hard to have a flame of fire for God when you're in around a lot of dirt. Do you know dirt will put fire out? Dirt represents the world. Dirt represents filth. Amen? But God told Moses, the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Amen. There's some preaching right there, but I'm going to move on. Let's move on to number three. I want to talk about, well, we talked about the location of the bush, and we talked about the sanctification of the bush, and we've already referenced this, but I want to hit it a lick or two. I want to talk about the habitation of the bush. God was in the bush. God was in the bush. Let me ask you a question this morning. What's bigger to you, what's around you, or who is in you? Good question, isn't it? Hello, is everybody listening?
Amen.
You can take a nap this evening. Of course, when I say you're dismissed, you'll be wide awake then, won't you? Be full alert, won't you? Huh? Nod your head like this right here. Amen. That's right. You can turn me off, but you can't turn the Holy Ghost off. Amen. Listen. I'm talking about the habitation of the bush. What's bigger to you? What's going on around your life or who it is that's in you? Now listen, you say that's a simple point. No, I know I'm just like you. I know we get so preoccupied with our surroundings and our wilderness and our desert and our desolation and our difficulties that we lose sight, Brother Kruchko, of who it is that is indwelling us. You know what 1 John 4:4 says? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah. The habitation of the bush. Can you get it? What condescension God exercised to come down and take up residence, take up dwelling in an old thorny bush that bore the evidence of the curse. Thorns, evidence of the curse. Amen. These bushes, I found out, were scrawny, ugly, snaggly, looking with distorted, twisted limbs. Nothing attractive. God says, I'm going to use that. Because it's not really about the bush anyhow, is it? Thank God. If it was about the bush, if it was all about the bush, God would have never saved me. But it's not about the bush. Amen. Thank God. I like what Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost? Yeah, bearing the thorns of the curse, unsightly, unattractive, twisted, mangled, ugly, scrawny, sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right. Amen. God, you say, well, if I was this or that, God, could you? No, God, if you're saved, indwells you. He lives inside you. That's not a figure of speech. That's a reality. In the person of the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of you. Are you listening? Amen. I like this. Talking about the habitation of the bush. God came to where the bush was because He knew the bush could not come to where He was. Yeah. Thank God. What about that? The habitation of the bush. God condescending. God, the God of heaven. Amen. The God of glory. The God of eternity. Living inside of an old scraggly bush. What condescension. Amen. God uses the plain ordinary bush. God uses plain ordinary people. Thank God for that. Amen. God is a spirit. And He needed a bush to manifest Himself through. God is a spirit and He needs a body to manifest Himself through. And that's where your body comes in. Because the Bible says about your body, if you're saved, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Glorify God in your spirit, that's inside, and in your body, that's outside, which are God's. Is that not pretty plain? Does that need definition? Does that need explanation? That when you get saved, you're not your own. God owns you inside and outside. Do not listen to no liberal that says that the inside, that's all that matters. God is not interested in the outside. Is that a fact? Read the Bible. Reading the Bible will clarify and clear up a lot of ignorance. The Bible deals greatly with the outside. Hello. People don't realize that. You know why? You don't study. If you listen to them liberals on the television, and not, maybe they're not all liberal, but most of them are. Listen to them on the radio, most of them are. They're going to tell you, oh, God's only interested in the spirit, you know. God's just only interested in the spirit, you know. God looks on the heart. You know, it don't matter what you do on the outside. You can be wicked as a devil outwardly, but God is just interested in the spirit. What do you think that means? Paul said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Both body and spirit belongs to God, and glorifying God, both. By the way, I got readers on. These are not real strong, Brother Tim. I don't see your spirit. I could use his glasses, your glasses, all of our glasses. I could use a telescope, microscope, and I still wouldn't be able to see your spirit. The only way I can see what you got spiritually as it is manifest physically, outwardly, that's the only way. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Preacher, amen. Amen. That's right. The habitation of the bush, the location of the bush, the sanctification of the bush, the transformation of the bush. God specializes in taking the common and making it uncommon. God specializes in taking the natural and making it supernatural. God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. God takes the insignificant and makes it significant. Takes the nothings and makes somethings out of them. God that is so large that heaven's His throne and earth is His footstool, my friend, can fit and squeeze inside of a little bush. You better believe something's going to get all out on the outside if the God that big gets in a bush. Amen. I guarantee if you got God inside you, if you're saved, you do. He's going to leak out the crack somehow. He's going to get on the outside. He'll break out on you like a measles. Amen. Yeah. Talking about the transformation. Oh, what a difference. God made to that bush. Amen. God that is, amen, big enough and powerful enough to create worlds. If he gets inside of a little bush, I'd say something's going to be a tight fit. And something's going to be revealed and transformed and changed. It was only after Moses noticed the abnormality and the difference of this bush before God ever spoke to him out of the bush. Hello, I want everybody to get that. God, listen, Moses had to notice the unusualness of that bush before God ever spoke to him out of the bush. More than likely, everybody ready for the application? Brother Mike, but more than likely, before God will ever speak out of you as a bush to other people, they're going to have to notice you are different. God has made a difference in you. Now I believe this. God loves sinners as they are. He'll save you just as you are. Praise His name. But listen. When you get saved, God immediately starts working in you and on you, bringing you more and more into the conformity of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I wouldn't have a preacher 5 minutes that did not preach that to me. Amen. I wouldn't have a preacher 5 minutes that wouldn't tell me after I get saved, God is interested in how I live, how I look, how I sound, my language, places I go, what I wear, all of that. Amen. Music I listen to and everything else. Transformation. Oh, if you could just see what I once was. I've not always been a preacher, Brother Gary. I've not always had a Bible in my hand. I've not always, my friend, looked like this, wear a tie. Never been like this, always like this. There was a time in my life that was all changed. I got saved by the grace of God, and God came in to this unsightly bush that's standing before you. And I still, to this day, after being saved 32 years, I still can't brag about the bush. Hey, man, and I'm aware of it day after day after day after day that I'm still a bush. This flesh is still unattractive. This flesh is still twisted. This flesh is still wicked. This flesh is still weak, and yours is too. But what makes the difference is God is in the bush. Hey, amen. And he's a bumping around in there now. Amen. Woo, amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Somebody's been praying for the preacher this morning. Amen. What a difference when you compare the before and after. Everybody saw those before, hadn't you? Those before and after pictures. Big difference. Can we put up your before and after picture and see any difference? Before salvation and after salvation? Could we see any difference? Amen. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Thank God for the transformation of the bush. God gets in any old bush, He'll make it look good. Amen. Thank God, nothing good about me except God that's in the bush. That's it. I'm bragging on Him. I'm boasting on Him. And I say this morning, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. The fire of God in the bush transformed it and gave its identity. We all know it to be the burning bush. Number five, quickly write it down, the radiation of the bush. The bush was on fire. The bush was on fire. Hello, do you know what that means? That simply means, and I wrote it down, that your darkness, your desolation, your difficulties only enhances the glow. Well, preacher, it's so dark in my life, and it's so dark where I work, and it's so dark at school, and it's so dark in our nation, and it is. But the last time I checked, darkness enhances the light. The darker the night, the brighter the light. You may not have much of a light, but if it's in a dark, dark situation, it ought to shine. It ought to shine, amen. The radiation or the illumination of the bush. The bush itself wasn't what was glowing. The God in the bush was glowing. I want to say to you again, bush burn, bush burn. Let God burn in you. Amen. The inside light was such that the old form of the bush was not even noticed. Number six, write it down. The observation of the bush. The observation of the bush. The Bible says there in verse number two, middle ways of the verse, behold. Behold is a word of notice. It is a word of observation. Behold, the bush burned with fire. Moses did not hear the bush say that. He saw that. And by the way, it won't do you no good to say anything if people can't see anything. Hello? You can talk to you blue in the face, as the old saying is. But if people don't see a life that's matching the lips, you're wasting your time. And I believe that that's a reason a lot of people don't have much to say. That's why I believe a lot of people don't ever testify. Now listen, I don't believe you'll testify every time you come to church. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But to go months? To go months? Spirituality is not silent, nor is it a secret. Spirituality is visible. Hello? Moses noticed the burning of the bush. And as a result, God spoke to him out of the bush. Are you listening? God help us this morning. Amen. The observation of the bush. People are watching you. People are watching you. Do you know that? People are watching you, whether it be family, whether it be friends, or it might even be foes. Somebody's watching you. Might be your children. Might be your neighbor. Might be a work associate. Somebody's watching your life. Do they see any fire? Do they ever hear any voice? Voice of God? Observation of the bush. Boy, the Lord give this to me. This is good. Everybody listening? The bush did not just burn when Moses was looking. Oh, how many church-going folk burns when the preacher's looking or when mom and daddy's looking or when somebody all of a sudden, wherever your little group is at down in town, all of a sudden somebody shows up that goes to church or knows you, all of a sudden you reach in there with your little, what they call that, flick your beak or whatever and try to ignite some kind of a little fire. You realize how foolish that makes you look? You don't realize how foolish when you're standing there yakking and maybe cussing, telling dirty jokes or whatnot, and then all of a sudden you change just because somebody walks up? That makes you look like a fool. That's what it makes you look like, amen? Your friends is going to say, what a two-faced jerk. Amen? That's right. Hello? The bush did not burn just when Moses was looking. The truth is, it was burning before Moses ever got up there. Amen. Amen. You don't burn because of who's looking. You burn because who's in you. This is good right here. Lord, give it to me this morning. This is good. You know why it burned and kept on burning? The fire was not of the bush. It was in the bush, but it was not of the bush. If it had been of the bush would have been consumed. The bush was not of the bush. It was in the bush. Or if I could say it this way, the bush was not for God. Come on right here. Somebody can get some help. You listen. The bush was not burning for God. You know why some are burning out? Brother Kruchko, you've been in this thing a long time, and you've seen a lot of people burn out. And I've been close to it a few times myself. Hello? Spiritual burnout. You know why? I was trying to burn for God. That'll wire you out. Try to burn for God. Miss Debbie, the bush was not burning for God. It was burning with God. And God does not burn out. He has been and always will be a consuming fire. He will not fizzle out 2 weeks later or a month later. You know when we fizzle out or we run a risk of burnout? Hello, church. It's when we are trying to burn for God instead of with God. You don't have to fan the fire when God is the fire. Woo! You have to pump and prime and push and pull and try to get people to keep their eyes open on Sunday morning. Amen. Try to be excited about the things of God. Hey, is that the fire of God? Amen. God is a consuming fire. He burns whether anybody's looking, listening, or not. He burns. The observation of the bush. Well, amen. Can you get this? Can you get this right here? Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. This is good. I'm still talking about the observation. The bush was not burning for the bush. Right. The bush was burning for others. People around you that needs to have an encounter with God. The bush did not burn for itself. It was burning for others. Moses representing the others saw the bush burning with fire. My. God is trying to reach others. God is trying to speak to others. But he's needing a bush on fire with him to do that. Amen. The Bible said in verse 3 that Moses turned to see this great sight. Oh, it's a great sight to see somebody that's aflame with God. You don't have no problem being on fire for God if you're on fire with God. That's it, ain't it? That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hello. Do I need to repeat that another lick or two? Do I need to repeat that another lick or two? Huh? It's not too hard to be on fire for God if you're on fire with God. Amen. And the further I go in this ministry, and the further I go, and the more I see, and the more churches I'm in, the more I see that we're spending all of our time trying to get people fired up about God that's not fired up with God. And that's why most revival efforts, including here, does not last a week. You know why? All you do a lot of times in a revival effort like that, and it's not just here, it's everywhere, is all you do is put a few twigs on the altar. And you know what? Them twigs goes up in smoke quickly. God is not interested in your twigs. God is interested in consuming you totally. Well, amen. We're talking about the observation of the bush. It's a great sight. Does not God deserve more and greater than just for you to be on fire in fractions and fragments, sections? Okay, Lord, hallelujah, we've got revival. I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to let you have this twig. I'm going to let you have this limb. I'm going to let you have this section. But stay out of the rest. You're wasting your breath, time to go to an altar, do business with God over a twig. God is interested in your life. God is interested in consuming you from bottom to top, from side to side, inside and outside. And there will be, and you hear me well this morning, there will be multitudes of sinners that will die and go to hell because of compromising, cold-hearted, half-hearted, church-going, professing Christians. Moses only got his attention with a fire, a bush that was burning, but not consumed with the fire of God. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Number 7, write it down, the continuation of the bush. The characteristics of the surroundings did not stop the bush from burning. It was dry, desolate, dark, a desert, but it still didn't stop the bush from burning. It burned on, but never burned out. Who was in the bush was greater than what was around the bush. The fire continued because fire was in the bush and not of the bush. We've already dealt with that. Amen. The fire of the bush burned continually and was independent of all other bushes. Hello. Well, I tell you right now, preacher, I'm not on fire this morning because of him. I'm not on fire this morning because of her. Hello? Do y'all see that? We don't know, there wasn't another bush on the hill on fire, but that didn't stop this one from being on fire.
Right.
It's personal. You got saved personally, and you listen, your spiritual level is personal.
Right.
Your spiritual level is personal. Amen. And then number 8, look, can I just add one more on that continuation? The fire of God will not destroy you. Well, preacher, I'm afraid if I get consumed with God and be on fire for God and consume all over and inside and outside, that it'll destroy me. No, the bush burned and burned and burned, but was not consumed.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. It's the worldly fires that'll burn the bush and turn it to ashes. God will burn and burn and burn in and through the bush and will not destroy it. That'll refute the lie the devil's telling some, that if you get saved, you'll never have any more fun, never have any more joy. If you get saved, it'll destroy you, it'll ruin you, you know. That's not true.
Right.
No, you put a worldly fire on that bush, and in just a matter of a few moments, it'll be ashes. There'll be nothing left. Isn't that the way the world does? Isn't that the way the world does, young people? Isn't that the way the world does our homes, our churches? Amen? Worldly fire, which is a fleshly fire, it is a physical fire, a fleshly fire, amen, will consume you and turn you to ashes. But the divine fire, the holy fire of God, will not consume. It'll burn through you and through, on and on and on and on. Then there is... Number 8, there is the communication of the fire, and this is last. The communication of the fire, and I've already referenced it somewhat through the message. God was speaking out of the burning bush to those that were around him, around it. The communication. We do know, church, God speaks out of this book. But I'm going to tell you what else I believe. God speaks out of believers. Does God speak to anybody out of you? I think that's a good provoking question, probing question. Out of the bush, God's voice came and spoke to Moses. You say, preacher, the bush never did do much. As far as we know, it only influenced, but Chuck, it only influenced one person. Oh, mercy. Oh, preach, I'm not doing much. You never know. You might be raising a Moses. You never know who you're working beside. It might be a Moses. You never know who you're going to school with. It might be a Moses. And if you'll be what God wants you to be, God may speak out of your life to them, and they turn out to be a Moses. And you know what Moses ended up doing? Going to Egypt and leading 2.5 to 3 million people out of Egypt.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I'm talking about the communication of the bush. You hear me pray it often, and I continue to pray it. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. But I think we need to add something to that. Brother Gary, I think we need to add, God, speak through me. Because you see, Brother Tim, God speaking to me is for me. But God speaking through me is for you. But it's for certain, Brother Klepper, if God's not speaking to me, more than likely, He's not going to be speaking out of me. Isn't that right? The communication of the bush. Amen. If we'll provide the bush, God will take care of the rest. There was a supernatural voice. There was a supernatural voice coming out of that bush. Moses heard the call of God out of that bush. January 20th, 1981, sitting on a pew on the second night of a 7-week revival meeting, God spoke to me out of a burning bush whose name is Randy Bain. As he mounted the pulpit, Brother Rob, and preached the Word of God, that meeting went 7 weeks. God spoke to me out of the bush. Had Brother Randy been half-hearted, had Brother Randy, and he's preached here, you know him, we support him. Are you listening? Had he been just another bush on the hill, God probably would not have spoke to me. Amen. And I trust, Brother Chuck, that down through 32 years of preaching, that God has spoken out of me, through me, to other people, and called them to salvation, called them to service. Amen. I know there's been a few. Brother Kevin, there's been a few. I'll never forget Brother Taylor when, of course, he heard the call of God to get saved. Got saved about right where the pulpit's sitting now, where we moved all this out. He got saved about right under the pulpit there, or so, probably under the communion table there. But he got saved. I remember him getting the call out of our heart, out of our life, I guess, out of the preaching, out of the word, to get saved. He got saved right here. Of course, we all know him. Most of us do here. Listen, Brother Taylor began to grow in the Lord, began to be used of God, and he became one of my deacons. He became a deacon here, and then it wasn't long till he said, "Preach, I need to talk to you." And we went downstairs in one of the Sunday school classes, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I think God is calling me to preach." Amen. Amen. God calling, speaking, communicating to other people out of the bush and saying, "Hey, I've got a purpose for you. I've got a job for you." God used that bush. And you know what? Listen, come here. As far as we know, that was the only purpose, Miss Brooke, for that bush, was for God to work in it to get Moses, call Moses, and get him on the job, get him where he needed to be. Are you willing for God to use you as a bush for His purpose? It may not be a big, gigantic purpose. It may just be to influence one person. But are you willing to be a burning, a continually burning bush that God can reach that person for the glory of God? Nobody ever brags on the bush, but my soul, everybody knows about Moses. Are you willing to be a burning bush that never gets bragged on? Will you quit burning if your name's not in the bulletin? Will you quit burning? Will you get the poochy lip if somebody fails to recognize something that you did or didn't do? Hello. That bush would have never been the burning bush it was if it had been jealous. Jealousy will kill a church. Jealousy will kill preachers. Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's what the Bible says. Amen. We've got a lot of talent in here, singing talent, teaching talent. We've got preachers in here. Hey, jealousy gets in here, it'll kill us. It'll kill us dead. Kill us dead. Amen. You know what my attitude is? Lord, I don't care what bush you use. I don't care who you use, what bush you use, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else, as long as you're calling some Moses and sending them out. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.